right, it's Bootstrapped Web. It's Friday. We're back. Jordan, how's it going, buddy?
Good. We're doing it live.
We are doing it live. Today, we just got on the call like 30 seconds ago, and we're just hitting record.
So. Yep, that's it.
So how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. You know, Halloween was last night. A good time with the kids. Whole thing.
Yeah, all that. That's fun.
Yes. And the kids have off school today, so they're coming over for lunch today to the office. It'll be fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we did the kids, you know, Halloween parade and the trunk or treat in our town and all that fun stuff. So,
good stuff.
And today I am I'm 37 years old today.
Wow, Brian! Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, man.
We are this one whole thing live.
Yeah, we are. I gotta be honest. This one kind of feel. I feel like I'm old. I know there are people a little bit older listening or younger, but like. I don't know. This is the first number. 37 feels like, all right, I'm not in my mid-30s anymore.
Yeah. I feel like 35 to 40 is kind of like not 40.
Right.
Not 40. Got yep. that going.
Yep. Yep. Cool.
Well, you don't look any different, so I think you're fine.
Yeah. The gray hair is coming in. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's inevitable.
Yeah.
Cool, man. And how was your week with work?
Good. Good. It was exciting this week. I guess I launched Process Kit.
You did launch Process Kit. That happened earlier in the week?
Yeah. It happened I launched the website on Monday, and then I put it up on Product Hunt on Tuesday morning. Honestly, I didn't even like intend this to be a quote-unquote launch. I've been talking about it on the podcast where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, does a SaaS ever really launch, you know?
Yes.
And I didn't really expect this week for much to happen, to be honest. All I really intended to do was get the new website live. And then I figured like, all right, well, if I just launched the website, if I'm ever going to post this thing to Product Hunt, like now would be the day that where that sort of makes sense to do that.
Right. Why wait?
Yeah. And like at least have an event of launching a new website and a new video. And I never expect anything out of Product Hunt. You know, like I hate Product Hunt because it's like...
You don't like it? I think it's interesting, but it's not that relevant for us.
What I mean is I never expect... I always expect it to fall flat. Like it's not going to get any votes. And I'm not going to do that stupid dance where you go ask somebody else to hunt your product for you. I'm not doing that. So I just put it up there myself. You know, I wrote the little description and... got some images and all that. And I was planning on doing this anyway, but I sent the email blast out to my list, to the Product Kit list, my personal list, put it out on Twitter. People were nice enough to upvote it. And I really appreciated that. And I didn't realize this until late in the day, like 5 p.m. I want to give a shout out to Corey Haynes, who reached out to me and said, hey, you should probably reach out to the Product Hunt support team to let them know that you've launched your thing. Because they like manually activated on the homepage. Because by that point, it was getting more upvotes than a lot of the things that were on the homepage. But it wasn't shown there. And so this was like Tuesday late in the day. I sent a chat request to them. And then by Wednesday morning, like middle of the night, I realized it's on the front page. And Wednesday, like the flood of trials come in. And it's weird, but they manually decide which things go on the homepage, despite how many votes it's getting and all that.
It's got to be curated at this point, otherwise it gets gamed or overwhelmed. So tell us about what the results were like. You get some traffic and trials.
Yeah, so you know, got a lot of trials, like a lot more than usual. And these are mostly brand new strangers, like people who have never heard of the product, never heard of me, not on the list or anything like that. And
just intrigued by the offer.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Product Hunt audience, so you really can't expect much, to be honest. And, you know, I could tell there's a lot of them that are just kicking the tires.
Checking these out.
Some of them are like naming their accounts like test account. Like, okay.
Yes.
I don't expect that one to convert. But the other interesting thing, I'm just going to kind of dive into one of my things that I had for today, is the difference in feedback that I get from people, like not just Product Hunt, but like new visitors in general compared to your early adopters.
Okay. Is it harsher?
It's not harsher. It's like the early adopters are more savvy. So they figure things out on their own a lot easier. Some of the feedback was glaring. Like I couldn't believe nobody has really brought this to my attention until yesterday, that like the button to add another step to your process like six people couldn't find that button, which is ridiculous. Like the plus button to like add another step to your process. I was trying to be a little bit too cute with the design, I think, where it was like hidden by default and it's you see it when you hover over it. The early adopters, nobody had an issue with that. They all and had paying customers and conversions and people are using the product and all that. Like they got through that no problem. But like several people sent that request and then I pushed out an update to make it more obvious. So I mean, that was one thing. And then there's been this bug, which has been killing me, where like 20% of the time people see this error when right after they sign up and they land inside the app. But I couldn't replicate it myself for the longest time. And then like a bunch of people from this product hunt and Surge like saw the same error. And then I spent a little bit more time. I'm like, I have to get a handle on this. And it turns out that was a LastPass thing. So if you use LastPass, what happens is, so this is now fixed, but like what happened was the way that my sign up flow is you sign up for the trial, create a email and password, then you get in, and then I send you to your edit profile page to fill out the rest of your profile, your name, your time zone, your avatar. But on that same edit profile page, that there's also a link to update your password if you want to. Most people wouldn't want to update it at that stage, but if you have LastPass installed, it's going to automatically fill in one of those password fields and result in like, oh, you need to type your password twice. And that results in like a lot of people just stopping and then not proceeding from there into the actual app. That just didn't occur to me that it could be a password manager that's pre-filling that error. And I don't use LastPass. I use 1Password. So I never saw that.
That's really your original mistake right there, Brian. That's your actual problem, is that you use 1Password instead of LastPass? But not that I have an opinion on it.
I very much have an opinion on it. And I think LastPass is terrible. To be like, I know there's a lot of LastPass users mm-hmm. out there. Honestly, I just think it sucks. I have tried it like several times. And I don't like to bash products on the show. I will bash LastPass.
Well, I will defend LastPass and I hate 1Password. So we can have an entire episode okay. about it. But anyway, I'm glad you squashed the bug.
Just real quick. So once I identified that it definitely was LastPass that it's causing this, like I installed LastPass, I confirmed like, yeah, that's the case. I started to read up on it. And usually these types of tools offer a way to developers to code their forms if they want to prevent LastPass from ever filling it out. LastPass does not do that. They have a way to like hide their LastPass icons that they slap on there, but it will still automatically fill out your forms. And there are some like hacky workarounds that you can do, but like it's really kind of ridiculous to that they don't offer an out for website developers, you know, around that tool. But anyway, I digress.
Yes. LastPass is too strong. We'll end it on that.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, other than that, it's been pretty good. The new website is live. I spent a few days working on the explainer video. Ended up doing that all myself. I've done those in the past, and I was really happy with this one. And I spent about 3 days on it. I think it came out really, really well. I got some good feedback on it. And while I was recording it, I also recorded a making of. Like, I wanted to capture everything I was doing to create this explainer video, mostly using ScreenFlow. And so I did do that. I'm going to release this. It ended up being like half of those 3 days was just me producing the making of. It ended up being like a 90-minute video.
I feel like people love that stuff, though. It's so useful.
I thought it was going to be like maybe a 30-minute thing. I ended up being 90 minutes, so I cut it into like a whole series of smaller pieces. And I'm going to release it on the YouTube channel probably sometime next month.
I have questions on that.
Yeah.
So do you see that as content coming from Process Kit or from Brian Castle?
That one is Brian Castle. So the explainer video.
Yes.
That's for Process Kit. That goes on the Process Kit YouTube channel. That goes on the Process Kit homepage. That's the explainer video. But the making of that's on my personal channel. It will be it's not up there yet.
So lately I've been thinking about that split between the two, whether it's Process Kit and Brian Castle, whether it's myself and Carthook, whether it's what we do internally and externally, I'm becoming more and more convinced that that's the content people want, that authentic content from the company itself.
Yes, I agree. I think more of that real authentic, especially story-based marketing is really, really useful. I still have a separation. Like in the future, I'll do stuff like that from the Process Kit brand. For now, like especially this year, all of this year, for anyone who's been following along with my other stuff outside of Bootstrapped Web, like my newsletter and my YouTube channel and Twitter, a theme that I've really been enjoying is this work in public idea, especially since I've been building more, like coding and designing a lot more this past year. So a lot more of what I do is visual. What I'm trying to do more of now is capture as close to real time as possible in the creative process. There's so much of, let me tell you how I did this thing, but I did it months ago. I'm going to give you the recap of it, like an edited version, especially when you're dealing with creative stuff, like creating an explainer video or designing a landing page or building a feature. Like what I want to see as a consumer of this stuff would be like, I want to create the same effect of me sitting next to somebody and just watching over their shoulder as they do their work. Tell me what your creative process is, your decision-making process, your thought process on why you want to do something one way and not another way. And I don't know what my own process is unless I capture it in the moment, you know? And so that's essentially what I did with this video. I think the thing that I made of the explainer video, the making of, is like that to the extreme. I've done that in the past this year, but it was always like a little bit after the fact. This one was like, okay, I work on 10 seconds of the video, then I stop and I talk about like why I did it in a certain way and exactly what the settings that I was using and all this different stuff.
Do you think it had some impact on how you were doing it because you felt like you were being watched or it wasn't public? I mean, there's got to be some element to
that. Well, that's one thing that I learned in this process. So very early in the year, I started with trying to do live streams of just let me literally go live. Like I forgot the tools I was using.
Watch me work on this element.
Yeah, and I tried that a few times, and I only did it like twice because number one, the bandwidth really just eats up the computer, and you have to have a really strong internet connection and all that. But the other one was there's too much of like literally just staring at the screen thinking, you know, and yes, there's not.
So it's not a lot entertaining. Right.
Yeah. So what I found since then is do a little bit of the work and get to a good milestone in the creative process. Once you've finished that like aha moment and you've implemented it, stop immediately and unpack what you just did.
Okay.
While it's still fresh.
I had to make this decision. These were the trade-offs. I decided to go this direction because that encompasses more use cases and I'm going to assume that this is more rare. And so I'm okay with that trade-off. And that's why I ended up here.
Exactly right. And if you do that little recap, like right after you finish the thing, it's all fresh in your mind. Like don't even wait until tomorrow, like do it right now, you know? And it means it will take you twice as long, maybe even more, you know? Like I could have just did the explainer video and did it in maybe like a day and a half. Obviously, it's a piece of content. It's going to hopefully attract more of an audience. I'm going to put it up on YouTube, all free. I just like sharing more of the creative process. And I think that my content has changed a lot in the last 2 years. Because before that, I had a lot of stuff about productized services. And I still get a lot of people joining my list learning about productized services. But even though I run productized services today, like I'm working on software and I'm designing interfaces and I'm talking to customers and doing customer research. Like that's what I'm most interested in right now. So I'm just trying to put out more content about that, you know, just to keep that wheel turning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're focused on.
Yeah.
I love it. Makes me want to watch it. I don't know what my process looks like. You know, I would almost be a little scared to even reflect on what it looks like, let alone release it. My process is like, I don't even know, not do that much stuff, but stress out and then talk to this person and then talk to that person and then walk away and on my walk on the way to lunch, just be like, oh, that's how I should do it. And then turn back around and write it down. Yeah. Like, is that a process? I don't know what that is.
If you stop and like do a video about it, like this is the issue I was facing. I saw these options and I ended up going this way for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah. When I sit down before we start talking on the podcast, I try to come up with a few points. Here's what I want to talk about. Here's what's on my mind. A lot of the things that I don't put down are management based. And so those decisions and like the working on the product is like the business is the product for this stage. And that process is like managerial. We had a customer engineering department and it looks like we're going to eliminate that department and then move people around. And so when doing that, that affects other people and it affects roles. Does it affect titles? What it affects reporting structure? How do you go through that, making sure everyone on the other side feels good about it and that it makes sense for the company and it makes sense for them and that they don't feel like they got bait and switched and they feel like they still have the advancement in the right direction? That's a different type of thing, but it's many of the same sequences and decision-making processes and trade-offs, but it does feel like it's less public. Right. It's not fair to talk about people's lives and careers openly in this way as if it were an interface. It's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like 2 or 3 years ago, I started trying to do more YouTube videos. If you scroll back in my YouTube feed, you'll see all these videos where it was just me talking to a camera, talking about business issues and managerial issues, talking about productized services. And I did a series of those for like half a year. I didn't really like them. They're still up there, but like I didn't like them because I was just talking about that business stuff. It's not visual, it's theoretical, you know, and it's just me talking, you know. So that's why I used to do a lot more writing. Like that kind of stuff lends itself more to writing, I think, is like an article about a strategy or something like that.
Yeah, as opposed to watching that.
Yeah. And that's why like this year, as I'm doing more work that's like visual, like working on code and design and things, like I'm more inclined to do YouTube. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So why don't I go on my end?
Yeah, please.
So we hit a milestone in October that has been, I mean, really, it's been 3 years in the making, but it's really been focused on for about 6 months. So we hit 5% churn and we were cruising at well above that for the entire time the product was around. The combination of the industry and the price point and the audience and the product changing and some limitations and also some deficiencies in the product as well. And we finally got it down. And I feel like this is the culmination of that switch from trial to demo. And that was like one of the most important parts. And now it feels like, okay, now we can start to focus on growth again in a much healthier way.
And then just to recap, I know you've talked about this already, but that switch to trial to demo, it's also like a qualification. It's like qualified demo process, isn't it?
Yes, it's an application process. And we only do demos with the people that we approve. So the way I have been talking about it to like help visualize it is we had the faucet all the way open. Anybody who wants to come in, let's just maximize it. And we were getting, you know, hundreds of trials a month. But it was super messy and a lot of support and a lot of cancellations and a lot of refunds and the churn was too high and unqualified people and a lot of work being done for people that were not going to be good customers. And that's taxing on the team and everyone. So that's what we did in switching to the application process with the demo is we closed the faucet entirely. We said nobody can walk in the door until we say they can. And so we've been on that since July 1st. You have to put an application in. If it gets approved, then you go to the next step for a demo. And then if you get approved at that step, then you get a link to sign up for an account. And then you pay upfront for the month. You have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So very different process. And now that we have the churn where we want, we have the process where we want, now we're in the process of opening the faucet back up. And we're doing that in the form of recorded demos. So we're still going to have an application process, but if you qualify, either if you're in a hurry, because some people are like, guys, you're busy and you don't have an opening for 2 weeks and I don't want to wait that long. So either you're in a hurry or you have a lower lead score, then you'll get a recorded demo. And so what that is, it's the process of opening the faucet back up. And what I'm trying to telegraph to everyone on the team is inevitably we're going to open it up too much and then have to correct the touch until we find just the right flow for us. So that's what this is. This is, okay, now we close it all the way. We got churn where we want. We got the process where we want. Now we're going to open it back up. And if you think about what that's going to do for the flow of work, it's not going to eliminate a lot of the work that was being done on the success team. What that's going to do is going to let people in sooner, and that work is going to flow over to the support team because now they're going to have an account, but they wouldn't have spoken to someone for an hour and really gotten a lot of the questions out. So now those questions, instead of going to success, they're going to go to support. So it's like, it's been interesting. It's like this living thing that moves around.
With audience ops, I always get a little, I could count them probably on like one hand, the number of times people have come to the website and just bought without talking to me. Or in some cases, like maybe they emailed, but they were in like Australia and it's like really hard to get a call on the calendar. And then they sign up and then they will talk to the team. And I'm always a little bit nervous about that. It most of the time it goes just fine. But like, I don't task the team with being the sales. Like I'm there to be that wall of, let me set all of your expectations before you decide to pay and sign up.
Yes. Which is funny that you said it that way, because when we're in a meeting yesterday, several of us, and we're talking about this process of, okay, what happens when we start sending out recorded demos? How are we going to decide who gets it? What happens when that work goes over support? We're just thinking through this stuff to anticipate it. At some point, I look around the room and I say, guys, you realize this is a very strange problem. We are managing and holding off demand. Like, let's acknowledge
that. That's the best problem you want to have.
Right. Like, guys, let's acknowledge we are lucky. This is a great set of problems to have. It's much the way you just said it. Like, you're setting expectations. It's not that you're worried about your team not being able to sell, right? You're almost anti-selling.
No, yeah. Yeah, I don't want them as a client, or I don't want them to start, you know, having it with the wrong expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. So funny thing. Yeah. So that's been the majority of my week, that and like the moving around that department stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. How about you? What else you got going on?
I've got three things. One is a quick one. I think I canceled a webinar. I was going to do a webinar next week and I canceled. I figured I'd be transparent about this on the podcast, but basically about 2 weeks ago, I had it in my mind that like the week of November 5th is going to be the week where I had already launched the website. I want to try to manufacture some sort of launch. And the first thing that came to mind was like, hey, I'll do a webinar. And the thought was, by doing the webinar, it'll be a forcing function to make me sit down and write some educational content about how to do processes and how to get going with Process Kit. I would have to create a whole slide deck for it. I had not created any of that yet. I was planning on getting templates ready for people to start importing and all that. But between creating that video I was talking about, between finishing off the website and then working on some key features and whatnot, I just kept pushing and pushing back the creation of that slide deck. But I had already announced the webinar. Because, you know, with a webinar, like you, if you're going to do it and it's going to be a live thing, like you got to start building registration. So the very first thing was like, let me just put up a web page, a landing page and a registration form, and I'll announce it to my email list. And I did that 2 weeks ago. And then I had another email the week after. And I was like, if I can just get those registrations coming in, then no matter what, I'll have to get my shit together before November 5th. Right.
Okay.
That's kind of how you know, that's how I think with these things. And like,
I think it's good.
And like by October 30th, I started finally sitting down to think about the slide deck. And I was like, you know what? I do not want to be working on this right now. I have 15 other things that I need to be working on that are going to have to be pushed back because there's so much work just to get this webinar going that I'm going to have to just cancel the webinar. At that point, it was only like, I don't know, 120 people registered, which is not small, but I just felt like, you know, this is just a one-time event and maybe I could reuse the content later, but it just requires a lot of work, like hours and hours of work just to get this one event off. 120 registrants, like maybe half or less will attend live. Like, it's not a big impact for the amount of work that I'm going to have to put into this. So, and there's opportunity cost of like fixing the UI to get these new signups all squared away. Like I've got this influx from Product Hunt. Like I've got to get this onboarding stuff going. Like there's just so many other key pieces of work that I have to work on. There's no point in pushing that stuff back. So I scheduled an email for Monday to let them know that, hey, the thing is off, but got other cool stuff coming, and that's that. Sorry.
Cool. The challenge there is when you feel that resistance to figure out whether you're just kind of being a wimp or if it's just, no, actually, I should listen. This resistance doesn't feel right, and I'm going to cancel the webinar. I go back and forth on that. In this situation, seems like, yeah, that's just too much time commitment and too much attention to pay at the wrong time. So that's
it's really the timing of it. And like it, when I first planned it, I thought that the webinar day would be sort of like the launch day, but it ended up happening like the launch day was when I put it up on Product Hunt. And
right, you do the webinar.
So that whole event happened already. So it's like the webinar I could just do later. You know,
cool. Well, gives you a better weekend.
That's true. That is true. Over to you.
For me, it's just a quick one, and then I'm going to head out to lunch with the fam. We are heading into code freeze. So that's been an interesting exercise in, okay, if we're not really going to push anything to production unless it's like a fix that has to go out between November 14th and January, we basically just back all the way off for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and the holidays. That's what our merchants want. That's what we want. Like it's just too much pressure on every hour to really put that level of stress when it's really not necessary. So we have some really big things coming out in the next 2 weeks. It's very exciting. Apple Pay, Google Pay, Afterpay, Amazon Pay, just like all this great stuff. And then we back all the way off. And so it's given me this opportunity on an annual basis where we have, call it 4 weeks. The last 2 weeks of the year, we take off. Holidays and New Year's, everyone's like, all right, take off. Basically just do what's absolutely necessary to help people out. But nothing moves really forward. So if you have this 4 weeks, it's a bit different than other periods of time. It doesn't have the same external pressure. Then what should we be working on?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like if you do a code freeze, it's not like you, and it's really just make sure things are calm for Black Friday. What do you do in those calm days?
It's tough to decide. In some ways you could be like, okay, well, let's just like work on like random bug fixes and stuff in the backlog and not make advancement. Another way to go, the way we're going is let's do longer term thinking stuff and things that we normally can't focus on, right? So for us, the big thing is a new integration beyond Shopify. That's the big thing. Right. It's kind of like this inevitable thing that we were never just going to be 100% on Shopify forever. At least that's my thinking. And so thinking about a second integration, that's like, yeah, maybe that's what we work on for those few weeks where normally we really are trying to service our existing customers on Shopify. This gives us the opportunity to look forward.
When you say work on it, you mean like talk about it, like plan it?
No, like get an MVP going and the planning. And look, these days our boat is a little bit bigger, so we can't just turn on a dime the same way. So when we think about something like that, it's okay, communications and marketing, like what do you need to know on how to talk about this? Support, how do you get educated on this and start documenting? Success, how are we going to start to talk about this? Biz dev, how do we even understand what the universe of agencies and partnerships are in this world? So it takes longer to turn the ship in that direction. So it's not just code and MVP, it's also UI and then all this, it's months of work. So it's not anything that takes a few weeks. Everything now takes longer.
At some point, I got to pick your brain, hopefully here on the podcast more about how you guys handle that inter-department communication. That sounds so corporate or whatever, but like
that's the challenge.
But for SaaS, I mean, especially to getting the support team up to speed on the new features. I mean, I notice that when I'm dealing with other SaaS and I'm talking to their customer support, and it's clear that I know more about their product than their support reps do. And that frustrates me to no end.
It's tough, yeah. though. You hire someone new, and then it is an enormous amount of pressure on that person to get up to speed with the customers. If you've had a customer on board for 2 years, you're a support person you joined 2 months ago, you that's a challenge. And it's a communications. Yeah, the coordination. I mean, that's what I talked about earlier in the podcast, was that like managerial focus, like that's turning into more of my job. I get to parachute into, let's say, product or to marketing. But now there is an art around parachuting in, but not being in the way and not being a jerk about, oh, here's this thing you've been working on for the past 2 weeks. Let me just come in and scramble it all up, or just tell you, oh, that's not good enough. And this isn't, it's changing, but it's exciting. And the other thing we're doing on the marketing side is we're redoing our website. And that, again, for us now, that's a 3-month project. And so starting that now in the code freeze makes sense.
Yeah. Very cool.
That's it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I know you gotta run now.
I do have to run in a few minutes. I think I might hear my kids outside. I hear a lot of laughter and high pitched voices. So that tells me they're probably here.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's great. Great to catch up with you. Happy birthday, man. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks, man. All right, bud.
Our pleasure. Have a good one. Thanks, everybody.
See you.